Thank you, Andrew Wong, for being so patient. He's been hanging on for an hour now, and I really appreciate it. He's the community manager for the Cubes OS project. Thank you for your patience, Andrew.
Thanks, Leo. I'm glad to be here.
Are you an attorney?
I'm not.
You look like you're in a law office, right? Very fancy office.
I'm actually a graduate student in philosophy.
Nice. You're a philosopher.
Oh, nice. So
who would have thunk it? Who would have thunk it? But yeah, I might have some geek roots if you're doing this.
I think I do.
Tell me a little bit about the genesis of Cubes OS, Q-U-B-E-S. Where did it come from?
Well, it actually started almost 7 years ago, and this is before I was involved. So originally, Joanna Rutkowska founded Cubes OS, and my understanding is that, you know, she needed a desktop operating system that would meet her own security needs, but there was nothing really available that met her requirements at the time. So she invented Cubes OS.
She's a Polish computer scientist who is quite well respected. So I think her need is something that we all share somewhat, huh?
Yes.
Yeah. So Cubes OS is a bit Linux-based, right?
It's based on currently it's based on Xen, the Xen hypervisor, and Linux. The work is in place to replace potentially Xen with a different hypervisor, or replace Linux with other operating systems for use in the different components. So at this point, Cubes is almost to the stage where it's kind of its own thing.
So we've seen Linux operating systems, Linux distros aimed at security. We've seen actually Unix operating systems, because I think also of OpenBSD aimed, and NetBSD aimed at security. I'm thinking of Tails OS. But this is a little bit of a different take on it. I installed it. Actually, it's very easy to install. It's a lot like installing any Linux, where you download an ISO. I put it on a USB key. They have instructions on the website. And then I happen to have a Dell. This is the Dell Ubuntu Developer Edition laptop from 2013. And, one of the nice things about the Dell laptops is because of their Sputnik project. There's good drivers in general. Linux runs very well on Dells. No problem installing at all. I presume it installs on a great many PC-type hardware systems, right?
Yeah. So right now, the biggest hurdle is actually hardware compatibility. It can be hard to find a laptop that's compatible, but we keep an HCL, a hardware compatibility list, that can show users which laptops work well with Cubes. And it's not too hard to find one, but you do have to, keep Cubes in mind when you're shopping for a laptop.
In general, if Fedora 23 works on it, will it work?
In general, yes, but there are certain requirements since Cubes requires Xen. Take a look at the system requirements. The main requirements would be, if you're using an Intel processor, to have VTD and VTX, since you can get a lot of good the main security benefits that way.
That's hypervisor support in hardware, right?
In the chip itself, in the CPU, right? They have that supported. What about, though, just overall performance of this thing? I mean, if you're running a lot of virtualized environments on top of essentially a guest OA or the primary DOM, as you say, isn't this going to take a lot of hardware requirements, CPU and memory and all that? Or could you get by with a, let's say, lackluster laptop or system?
You can get by. So, of course, there is a noticeable performance. There is a noticeable performance overhead compared to just running a bare metal operating system, but it's not too bad. So, the main thing is that you're constrained by memory in how many different VMs that you can run at the same time. Also, it's nice to have a fast SSD, just because you do have to read, at a few different levels. But I would say overall, at this point, the performance is pretty good for laptops that you can realistically get.
This seems to be working quite well. This Dell is an i7, 8 gigs of RAM, smallish SSD, 256 gig SSD. It was probably very high end 3 years ago.
Right.
But this is probably commonly the kind of hardware people install it on. Mm-hmm. Now I want to understand what's going on. So you use the phrase hypervisor and DOM, and I want to step back a little bit so you can explain the dummy here. Every program I run on Cubes, in fact, I'm running right now Firefox, a control panel, and I see a manager, a VM manager. Everything is running inside its own individual virtual machine. Is that correct?
So you don't necessarily run every program in its own virtual machine. Instead, the way that things are divided or compartmentalized is according to what we call security domains. So the idea is that you take your digital life and you can divide it up into different parts, like personal, work, you can create a different domain for whatever you like, and then you can run your different activities and store your data in those different domains. So you could run more than one program in a single domain if you wanted to.
So I see here, I've got, this is the default setup. I mean, I literally just installed this, and I have installed XFCE is the desktop manager. You can install other desktop managers, but this is a good lightweight one for a lot of hardware. And it's pre-installed with a variety of domains. There's the, as you mentioned, personal and work. There's a vault domain. What's that for?
So the vault domain is... the idea there is that you can basically make a kind of network isolated or air gapped machine for use with a password manager, for use with storing really sensitive information or documents. Basically, something that you want to not have any network access and not have any other VMs be able to copy files or text into it.
Ah, great. Untrusted would be where I would do stuff, what, that might cause trouble. But again, it's isolated, right? If I installed, spyware, malware, adware in Firefox running in this untrusted domain, it couldn't then spread to my other domains.
Exactly, right. So, if you have to browse, just the open general web and you're worried about drive-by downloads or things like that, then you would use the untrusted VM. And then, if one of the sites that you visit happens to be, serving you malware through its ads or something like that, then you don't have to worry that your personal and work domains are compromised.
And it's a simple enough thing to delete the domain and recreate it. If I do get a compromised untrusted domain, I could just erase it.
Yep, you can just remove it and create a new one right from the Cubes Manager. You can also back up your domains, so all of that functionality is built in.
I realize one of the things I didn't do yet on this one is set up the Wi-Fi. Ah. So that's why when I tried to browse, nothing, it still says connecting.
Nothing's coming up.
I literally just installed this before the show.
Literally, as you're walking in, you're still installing it.
So when you say DOM, is that what you mean, domain? Is that what you're saying? It's short for domain?
Right.
Yep.
Okay. Right. So in Zen lingo, DOM is short for domain. So DOM 0 or domain 0 is basically what we're looking at right now. That's the kind of control domain where you have your GUI and you have all of the windows from different domains on a single desktop.
So even the desktop manager is running in a separate domain, say, from my Firefox here.
Exactly.
Wow.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And
wow.
There's a very special reason for that, which is that we want the desktop manager and the window manager to be in the most trusted domain, in DOM 0, because that way we can prevent a compromised domain from attempting to spoof Windows. So you might be worried that if an untrusted domain gets compromised, then it might try to pretend that it is your entire desktop. It might, make itself go full screen and then just say, "Hey, I'm your desktop. Oh. Interact with me and tell me all your secrets." Right.
Yep.
So if we can prevent that, then that's a really desirable security feature, and that's one of the central things that Cubes bring and that it was designed to do.
How about saving state? If I go and use Firefox in one of these domains, or DOMs, and then close it and go back, is it gonna know all the things I did before? Is it a continuous state, or does it wipe itself each time?
So there's two kinds of domains. There's ones that are permanent, and then there's ones that are disposable. Uh-huh. So the permanent ones do save state, and it's just like having a computer within a computer, and it functions the same way. But if you open a disposable domain or VM, then once you close it, it's completely destroyed, and it's gone forever.
I noticed there is an unusual domain here. It's Anon Hunix. What is that?
Yes. So Hunix is a project that allows you to use Tor more safely By separating the Tor process from applications that use Tor, like Tor Browser, into separate VMs. And at this point, Cubes and Hunix have become integrated so that you can use Hunix VMs within Cubes seamlessly. So at this point, you can have a what we call a service VM or a proxy VM that can allow you to connect up your whatever VMs you like, and then have all their traffic be forced over Tor. So you can do this to download all of your updates for Tor for the entire Cube system. You can use it to, you know, use Tor Browser or use any application you like, and have it go over Tor. And then you don't have to worry that if there is, say, a zero-day exploit for Tor Browser that causes it to become compromised, you don't have to worry that the attacker will then be able to learn your real IP address or compromise the Tor process because it's securely isolated in a different VM.
All right. So, okay. Can I install arbitrary programs within one of these domains?
Yeah. Yeah. So it's you can do whatever you would ordinarily do inside one of those VMs as if it were, you know, that distribution or that operating system.
So it's just and that explains why you have these templates down here.
Right.
There's a template for Debian 8, for instance. You mean I would, in a sense, run Debian within Debian packages within a DOM that is dedicated to Debian? Is that exactly what that is? Or
pretty much, yeah. So the way the template system works is that you can have different templates for different operating systems, and you can even have more than one for the same operating system if you have more and less trusted templates. And the system is that each of your VMs can use a template, and it can get its root file system from there. So instead of having to install an entire operating system into each different VM, you can instead just install it once into a template, and then you can base as many other lightweight application VMs or app VMs on that template as you like. So this saves on disk space. It saves on all sorts of resources. It means that it's much easier to update since you can just update one template and then have that update applied to all of the app VMs based on that template. And the way this is set up is, of course, you know, with security in mind. So things can only go in one direction. Your app VMs can't they only have read-only access to the template. So an infected app VM can't infect the template. But the other way around is true. So the template is a much more trusted and sensitive thing than the app VMs based on it.
What about containers?
Like Docker.
Yeah, like Docker. I mean, we talk a lot about that on the shows on the Twit Network. Why not use containers for this? It seems like using Xen for this would take up a lot more resources than just using containers.
So I'm not an expert on containers by any means, but one of the really nice things about the Xen hypervisor and other bare metal hypervisors compared to containers and also compared to what are called type 2 or hosted hypervisors is that with Xen, it's a relatively small, that is thin, you know, low number of lines of code, small layer that's sitting right on the hardware, and then everything else runs on top of that. So in that sort of setup, in order for an attacker to subvert the entire system, they would have to be able to break out of the hypervisor or somehow compromise the hypervisor. By contrast, if we're running hosted or type 2, hypervisor, then we have a larger, you know, more bloated operating system, and then everything else is inside of that. And my understanding is that the situation is going to be the same thing with most containerization technologies. So in that situation, you know, it's still better than having everything being in the same monolithic environment. But the problem is that if the host operating system gets compromised, then everything else goes down the drain too. So, for example, if I'm running Windows and then I install VirtualBox or VMware or Docker inside of Windows, and then I have different VMs or containers inside of that, then if that main Windows installation gets compromised, then the whole thing is compromised too.
Interesting. Yeah, so you have a huge vulnerability there. In that system, because you want to protect your host operating system, of course. I really like how everything is separated here.
I mean, if I do a terminal, if I do ls in my personal DOM, I see only files in my personal DOM, and then I go to a terminal in the work DOM, I see only files in my work DOM, and there's no inter-process communication. It just doesn't. I'm not going to see anything there. It's almost like different accounts, right?
Yeah.
unless you want to transfer files between them. So there is functionality
How do you do that?
Allow these to be integrated. So there's a few different ways. The main way is that if you have a file, you can just open up, you know, the file manager and then right click, and then in your right click menu there will be an option that says copy to another VM or move to another VM. And it's the same. It's a similar process with copying and pasting text. So there's an inter-VM clipboard, and the default shortcut is just Control-Shift-C to copy, and then Control-Shift-V to paste.
Now, isn't
and
that you can a, use, that's a potential yeah. security vulnerability? Because if I can move data from one VM to another, couldn't malware do the same thing?
Yes, that's very true, which is why it's very important for users to understand, you know, what it is that they're moving and the risks associated with it. So by itself, there's no way for a compromised domain or malware to trigger this kind of move.
Oh. You can only do it because you're in the primary
domain.
You're
in zero.
You're in the zero DOM, right? So you can do that there. But if you were in these subdomains, there's no way that you could get access to that functionality. You're kind of in jail there, so to speak.
Right. A compromised VM could request the transfer, but then you would get a pop-up in DOM 0 that is unspoofable and unforgeable asking you to approve it. And, you know, if you didn't trigger that, then, of course, you wouldn't approve it. So that's the functionality there. It basically puts all the control in the user's hand and says, you know, we trust you to know what's in your best interest and, you know, to be as secure as you want to be, basically.
That's the tough balance in a secure operating system is you can make it secure, and then the user goes, I can't use this at all.
Yeah. Password. That's good enough for me.
So, and then, that's the opposite is, of course, the user can do anything they want. They can run it as a root if they want. So this is really impressive. It's still, though, very geeky, right? I mean, this isn't aimed at
as
an average user yet.
It's not. So we're working hard to try to make it more usable for mainstream users. But you're right. Right now, it's very geeky. It's anyone can use it if they want to. I mean, I didn't have any prior Linux or experience or anything like that when I started using Cubes. I was just a lifelong Windows user. But, you know, I wanted a secure operating system. And there was a learning curve, certainly at first. But if you are someone who, you know, wants this or needs this and is willing to go through that learning curve, or if you're someone who is already familiar with Linux and who is a tech enthusiast, then, you know, you're probably going to be able to pick it up and find it very usable.
Yeah, I mean, the Linux part is pretty straightforward. It's the idea of these different domains running at the same time and which domain to use. But I've only been using it since the show began, and I'm getting kind of the idea of all of this. Have you guys been audited? What are you doing to establish through an independent party your security bona fides?
Well, so we would certainly love it if anyone were willing to audit.
It's always a good idea, but it's open source, right?
It is. It's completely free and open source. All of our code is on GitHub. You can, you know, feel free to download it. We haven't had an official audit yet. I think, you know, it's hard to find qualified security researchers who are willing to put in the time and effort to do that sort of thing for free. We have recently launched a new commercialization and community funding effort. And the idea here is that, you know, we think that a lot of corporations could really benefit from the security that Cubes provides. So we are offering licenses to corporations, and at the same time, we'd like to continue the open source development of Cubes. So, you know, we're basically asking the open source community to support us to the extent that they are willing, so that we can continue to do that.
And of course, Joanna Rutkowska is very, very respected in the security community. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is her effort here is highly respected and trusted. So it's not like this is out of nowhere.
No, and Xen itself is a very, well, I should say old. I mean, I was using Xen when I was at Sun Microsystems like 10 years ago, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, this is an open source project that's been around for a long time.
Right.
And in fact, powers a lot of the virtualization engines that people use, right? I think like Oracle VM and a bunch of others are based on Xen, right?
Really? Oh.
Yeah, a lot of the cloud runs on Xen. And, you know, many of the major Xen vulnerabilities that have been found over the years have been found by members of the Cubes team. So I think at this point, you know, the main sort of pedigree is, you know, what the team has done in their previous work as security researchers.
Very, very interesting. And going forward, where do you plan to take Cubes?
Well, so like I said, you know, we're making the push toward commercialization, and we're currently working on version 4.0. So that release is going to bring a lot of big changes. The main one that most users will be seeing and will hopefully find helpful is that the VM manager, the Cubes VM manager that you see there, is going to be kind of decomposed, and those functions will be spread around to different parts of the desktop. So it should be much easier to interact more in a more natural way with the different domains that you use. And, you know, of course, other things will come along with this new release, bug fixes, better hardware support, things like that. So we're really looking forward to the release of 4.0.
To give you an example, when I was setting this up, it asked, do you want to set up a SysUSB domain? And I wasn't sure why I'd want to do this, so I asked Andrew. And this is, you know, we know there's a huge problem with plugging in, you know, stray USB keys because of bad USB. It's very, very risky to put a USB key. So this literally isolates the USB key and the interface from the rest of the operating system.
Yes, exactly.
That's I can see why people, you know, somebody like Edward Snowden. Is Edward Snowden using this?
He when he endorsed us a couple months ago, he said that he uses CubesOS.
Wow. Yeah. He says, if you're serious about security, this is a tweet, CubesOS is the best OS available today. It's what I use and free, and nobody does VM isolation better. Wow, that's a
pretty good endorsement.
That's from September. That's that's about as good as it can get. This is really fascinating. And I have to say, what it is a great proof of concept. Mm-hmm. I was talking to Joel Spolsky on Triangulation on Monday, Joel on software, and he said, I thought by now we would be, all our software would be running within a virtualization or a container, isolated from other software. Mm-hmm. That was the idea of, you know, the sandboxy, a lot of, you know, that's how Chrome works, right? In theory, is it isolates each tab. Mm-hmm. But this seems like a really strong, robust. And by the way, easy to install. Now, I had to put my laptop in legacy mode. It's a UEFI laptop. Yeah. Is there a UEFI install for it, or is it only a legacy mode?
There is UEFI support. Okay. It, you know, depending on the hardware that you're using, you may have to try one or the other.
I was just
but
lazy.
Both should be supported.
Would it be more secure to use UEFI? Would it matter?
So I don't think that there's an appreciable security difference from the sort of Cubes mindset because basically when it comes to boot security, we rely mostly on what's called anti-evil made. So the idea is that if something in your boot process is compromised or malicious from the get-go, then there's nothing we can really do about that. But if it's not, then you can at least use what's called anti-evil made to protect yourself to be alerted if an attacker tries to change something in that boot process.
Got it.
Yeah.
So if the system is already compromised, well, all bets are off.
Right.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
I like anti-evil made.
Is that a program? What is anti-evil made?
Yeah. So anti-evil made is a program. It's a function in Cubes that protects against so-called evil made attacks. And evil made attacks are basically what they sound like. So, say you leave your laptop in your hotel room while you're on a business trip,
and the evil maid comes in, changes the bed, and changes your boot sector.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. Right. So your attacker, you know, bribes a maid to go in and then plug in a USB stick and press a button, and then now, you know, you're compromised straight from boot, right? Because for the most part, you're going to have something that's unencrypted, right? If not the boot partition itself, then then, you know, the BIOS or something. And so if there's nothing to check that and to make sure that it's the way that you left it, then when you enter your disk decryption passphrase, an attacker could potentially get that. So that's the evil made attack, and anti-evil made can protect you against that, not by preventing it, but by alerting you if something like that happens. Yeah. And that requires a TPM, a trusted platform module.
So there would be an advantage to using a secure boot system, as long as the secure boot system doesn't require you run Windows.
Exactly. Right, like it does in most cases.
As it does in most cases, unfortunately. Wow, this is really cool. People could find out more online by going to the website qubes-os.org. Find an old laptop, download it, try it. I feel fairly comfortable. Now, is there a root user, or is Dom Zero have a root user? I noticed that I'm not a root user. I'm just a regular user.
Yeah, there's not really any root user separation by default in KubeSOS. And the reason for this, and it's somewhat controversial in the community, but the reason for this is that from the perspective of our development team, that doesn't really provide you much security. Mm-hmm. So all of your user data in your VMs is going to be accessible from the user account. And from DOM 0, it doesn't really make sense to have user root separation, because if an attacker can get into DOM 0 at all, then it's already, as we say, game over.
Yeah. Okay, that makes sense. This is great. Andrew, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
Are you going to be – what kind of philosopher are you going to be?
My specialization is epistemology and ancient philosophy. Nice. I work on something called Pironian skepticism.
Wow.
I'm all over Pironian skepticism, let me tell you. I don't believe that for a moment. No, I'm just kidding. Hey, Andrew, really nice to meet you, and thank you for putting out the word. I hope everybody who's watching will download Cubes. A lot of our viewers, like me, love playing with Linux distros, right? Mm-hmm. This is a very interesting Linux distro.
Try it out. Yeah. It's certainly different than any other one you've tried.
And, you know what, XFCE, you'll be very comfortable with the environment. Yeah. You'll be able to move around. It's kind of cool. You see all these different DOMs that you can work within and try it with Tor. And I have to say, I don't feel a lot of lag or overhead in this.
Right.
It's pretty impressive.
As you've been moving through, I've been watching.
Yeah,
and
it's pretty responsive.
Yeah, very responsive.
Yeah. Very cool. Thank you, Andrew. I appreciate your time. You spent a long time with us, and I'm sorry we kept you on hold for so long.
Well, thanks so much for having me.
Take care.
I really appreciate it.
Andrew Wong from Cubes. We got to put the word out. And you know what? I can see it. A place and time, you could take this, underlying it, and do something like Google did with Chrome OS on top of Linux. You know, put a browser in there, and nobody has to know what's really going on,
right?
You just have maybe different menu commands for different levels of, you know, this is my personal workspace, my work workspace,
And never the two shall meet.
Yeah. Yeah,
no,
I love
the
that.
Streams there.
I love
Absolutely.
That.
Absolutely. I think it's cool.